The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus. But the Pharisees and the scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them Jesus addressed this parable. A man had two sons, and the younger son said to his father, "Father, give me my share, give me the share of your estate that should come to me." So the father divided the property between them. After a few days, the younger son collected all his belongings and set off to a distant country, where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to tend the swine. And he longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine fed, but nobody gave him any. Coming to his senses, he thought, "How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food to eat? But here am I, dying from hunger. I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would one of your hired servants.'" So he got up and went back to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him. Filled with compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, kissed him. His son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son." But his father ordered the servants, "Quickly, bring the finest robe, put it on him. Put a ring on his finger, put sandals on his feet. Take the fattened calf and slaughter it. Let us celebrate with a feast, because this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found." Then the celebration began. Now the older son had been out in the field, and on his way back he neared the house. As he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what this might mean. The servant said to him, "Your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf, because he has him back safe and sound." The brother became angry, and refused to enter the house. His father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father in reply, "Look, all these years I served you, and not once did I disobey your orders, yet you never even gave me a young goat to feast with my friends. But when your son returns, you swallowed up all your property with prostitutes. For him, you slaughtered a fattened calf." Father said to this elder son, "My son, you are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice, because your brother was dead and has come back to life again. He was lost and has been found." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Soon we'll be having our regional reconciliation services, opportunities to go to the sacrament of penance or to go to confession. It won't be, we have ours on Mondays at Holy Cross, and it won't be tomorrow because we're in spring break, but it'll be 1 week from tomorrow. And of course we have reconciliation opportunity Wednesday at 5:30 and every Saturday afternoon. I think about reconciliation because St. Paul is telling us to be reconciled to God, and that God has given us this ministry of reconciling with God and then with one another. And whenever I hear the story of the gospel, the story that has traditionally been called the prodigal son, I think about what reconciliation is like. But it's an interesting story, and it's really the story of not just a son, but it's the story of three people. And each of them gives us an insight into reconciliation. This is truly, the gospel is the story of the prodigal son, the embarrassing father, and the resentful older brother. So let's hear what the scriptures are telling us about reconciliation through each of these characters. Firstly, there is the kind of the star of the story, maybe. The prodigal son who rudely asks his father for his share of the inheritance and then goes and squanders it away. And the story tells us that after he just basically lives unresponsibly, after he does that, he finds himself in a world of hurt. Actually, the story has him in probably the most distasteful place that a young Jewish male could be. He's taking care of pigs, which are considered to be an unclean animal. And he's actually feeding them the slop, and he's thinking, I am so hungry, I would like some of that. He is as debased as a young Jewish male could be. And finally, in that moment of hitting bottom, he has his realization. He comes to his senses and he says, hey, even my father's servants have it better off than I. And I'll go back to him and hopefully my father will let me be his servant so that I can at least have something to eat for my hungry belly. And this moment of hitting bottom, this moment of realizing that his best efforts to live his life have turned into a total disaster, for us, that can be a similar kind of moment of realization. The son teaches us about reconciliation that there may come a time in our lives when we too realize that our best efforts have yielded no good results, and that we are at bottom, and there's only one place we can turn, there's only one person that can help us, and we have to decide to turn back to the Father. It could be when a man finds himself going on the internet to a triple X site and then asks this question, what am I doing here? What would my family say? How could I explain this? Or the reconciliation moment when a teenager finds that they have actually said yes to running around with a group of young people that has them in parties with drugs and alcohol, and the teen begins to realize, this is not where I want to be. This is not who I am. Or it's the moment when a mom realizes that the stresses of life have got her so wound up that she's screaming at her children or perhaps hitting them, and she realizes this is not what God wants me to be. This is not who I want to be. In these moments, we come to our senses, and then we turn to the only one who can ultimately help us, and that is God. You know, it's interesting to note the son in the story, he was not... Sometimes the story is given as an example of conversion from the son. He didn't convert, my friends, in that moment. He was simply trying to survive. It is not a virtuous moment for the son. And moments might come in our lives when that's all we're trying to do. We're just trying to survive. We are just trying to do the right thing as a parent. We're just trying to make it through being a teenager. We're just trying to hold our marriage together. But the grace in this moment is the grace of realization, of coming to our senses that our efforts ultimately are not enough, that we need God's divine grace, God's divine power to lift us up and to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. That's the grace of the moment of the Son, is that we realize we are dependent on God. The next reconciliation moment in the story is the moment of the Father. The story tells us that the father catches sight of him, the son coming back, from a long way off. And the hint or the implication of the story is that the father was out there every day looking for him. That the father was basically out on the front porch, if you will, just looking, wondering, and thinking, is today the day that my son comes home to me? And when he does see him, the father does a few actions which are very interesting for a Hebrew listener. He runs to him, he embraces him, He kisses him. He puts a fine robe on him. He gives him a ring that is like the sign of belonging to the family. He kills the fatted calf, and he calls for a feast. But to the listener to this story, everyone would have thought, that father has made a fool of himself. He has embarrassed himself, and he's embarrassed the whole family, because he's lowered his dignity from a father who really should be there, and the son should come groveling. The son should come groveling to him. The father should just wait for the son to give the family back the honor that he has taken away from it. But that's not what the father does. No, he just lavishes embarrassingly his love and his care upon his son who has returned. And this is, for me, or for the, I believe this reveals the very nature of the heart of God, and that's what God does to us. God lavishes on us forgiveness when we do not deserve it. When, no matter how far away we've gone, no matter what we've done, no matter how despicable what we feel we have gotten ourselves into, God will forgive us. And in fact, God will lavish His love upon us. It's almost as if the further away we go, the more grace and the more love God will pour upon us. And for ourselves, all we can do is accept the robe of forgiveness that God gives us, and the ring of belonging that God says, you belong to me, and the feast that says, let's celebrate, you're back with me. All we can do is accept that grace. And when that grace washes over us, that will change our ability to accept ourselves. It will create the ability for us to then forgive ourselves for whatever we have gotten ourselves into. And the final moment of this story is the moment of the elder brother. I call him the resentful older brother. He's the one who says, well, this isn't fair. That guy runs off and spends everything, and you give him this huge party, and what have you ever done for me? What? I mean, I've been good. I've been here. I've been doing what you asked me to do. But the key thing is that son refuses to come into the party. Because the son refuses to come into the party because he is resenting all this attention being lavished on his brother. But the father reminds him, son, everything I have is yours. See, what the elder brother is forgetting is that he possesses all of the gifts of the father. He has those. So there, one of those gifts that he possesses of the father is the ability to be magnanimous, is the ability to be joyful in this moment. But rather, he falls into resentment. He's resenting the son for receiving his father's attention. And I think this moment in reconciliation points to that reality for each one of us, where there could become times in our lives when we too are resentful of other people's success, or resentful of something we don't think is fair, maybe something that the way something's worked out in the office, or perhaps a family situation. And that resentment is a sin for us because it prevents us from entering in to the banquet of life that God wants us to. It kept the son on the outside rather than going in and welcoming his brother back and saying, we're so glad you finally figured things out. He's left on the outside looking in, and he's resenting. I think for us the message is there is a message, a life of grace, there is a life of love that the Lord wants us to enter into, and the only thing that will keep us from experiencing that is our own decision to not want to be a part of it. And sometimes that takes the face of resentment. The elder brother shows us how dumb that is, how stupid it is to not enter in, but rather to say, no, don't want to have anything to do with it. Well, the story would indicate that ultimately that attitude won't get us anywhere except outside the celebration. So my friends, let's be reconciled to God. Today the Lord invites us. We could be any one of these characters. We could be all of these characters. When we do find that life unmanageable or if something is too difficult for us to handle, that's the moment when we simply realize God will handle it for us. The Spirit will guide us to the grace of Christ. Christ will take charge for us. Then we'll be able to see that the Father is lavishing His grace and His mercy and His forgiveness upon us. So today we can let go of a hurt, let go of a hurt that is a present hurt or a past hurt, and we can say yes to God's power in our lives. God wants us